Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
And good morning. It is 8:07 on WCCO. It is time for Smart Gardens. And this week, it's our fabulous Mary Meyer joining us. She is a University of Minnesota Emeritus Professor and Grass Collection Curator for the Hughes Landscape Arboretum in Chanhassen. And Mary, I just have to say, when we were communicating a little bit this week about what is the very best way to introduce you in all of your many credentials, I went to the Hughes website that talks all about your fabulous work. And you guys, Mary has a horticulture degree. She has specialized training in ornamental grasses and a PhD in plant breeding and genetics. She knows everything. She knows every single thing about your yard, about every flower you've ever attempted to grow, and we're so happy to have her this morning. How are you, Mary?
Oh, Laura, I'm great. What an introduction.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Now I've got to answer every question perfectly today.
The pressure is on. No, I'm kidding. But still, I mean, what a career you have made with plants and flowers, and how delightful that must be. Don't you just love it?
I love it. That's exactly why I do it. It's so much fun. And even though I'm technically retired, I love doing this show because it is so much fun. And as the introduction said, what mystery are we going to try to solve today with the plant collections? It's just, horticulture is just, for me, great fun.
Oh, I just think that's wonderful. If you have a question for Mary about something you're trying to grow, something that's causing you a problem, something going on with your lawn, now's the time. 651-461-9226. We'd love to line up some calls for Mary this morning. You can always text us, of course, but let's get some phones ringing today. 651-461-9226. And Mary, I do want to jump to the text line right away because you know people get their questions in before it's even 8 a.m. because they want to be first in line. We get so many questions for you wonderful, smart lawn and garden ladies. Okay, here we have, my daughter and son-in-law recently purchased a house in Bloomington. It has a very bumpy yard, and when mowing, the mower bounces all around. How can they fix this, and what has caused this bumpy yard?
Well, there could be a number of reasons for the bumpiness in the yard. It could be moles that are looking for insects that are in the yard, excavating underneath. And so, this person, it's interesting. They talk about bumpiness, but they don't talk about what the grass looks like.
Yeah.
So I personally would say, if your grass looks okay, I would not worry about it. And the first thing that might come to mind is rolling a lawn, because you can actually rent these rollers that you put on a lawn, but that just really would lead to compaction and may not alleviate the bumpiness. So I would say if the grass looks okay, I would not worry about it. If grass is dying and brown, I think they would have talked about that more than the bumpiness. So I would say if your grass is okay, it is doing well in the lawn, and the bumpiness is more our problem than it is the grass.
Got it. We have some phone calls already, Mary. Let's go to the phones. Candace, who do we have?
Sarah from Lake Elmo.
Good morning, Sarah. What's your question for Mary?
Good morning. We planted from Gerton's a pine tree, and it's the tall, skinny type that the branches kind of flop down. And we planted it 2 years ago, so this is its second summer, and it just isn't doing much of anything. We tried putting some evergreen fertilizer at the base of it. That got rid of the brown, but it's not growing. It's green, but it's just sitting there. It's on the north side of the house, fairly close to the house. I'm not sure what else to do to help it grow.
Yeah, this is a mystery, right, Sarah? But I would say the first thing I would be concerned about is the water. If you have an irrigation system so that the water is on regularly, then water is probably not an issue. But if you don't have an irrigation system, a new tree, even though it is in its second year, would still be needed quite a bit of water. So paying attention to the amount of water that it gets is critical. And there are numerous ways that you can water. And for trees, there's a great video showing you online at our extension.umn.edu website that you locate 4 points around the tree, north, south, east, and west. And you put like a bucket of water or your hose with a certain amount of time on each one of those points around the tree. So you have to really dedicate a certain amount of time to regularly watering. And watering infrequently, like once a week, is much better than watering frequently and light watering. So you want a large amount of water on a weekly basis. So I would look to watering. And as long as it may still be just getting established.
All right, great. Thank you for the question, Sarah. Another caller on the line, Candace. Who do we have?
Doris from Carver.
Hi, Doris. What's your question for Mary?
Hi there. We live out in the country and have like four clumps, but very close together, very well-established lilac trees. I think it was, maybe 3 summers ago that we had the really nasty drought. And in the middle of that drought, they all the leaves turned brown, fell off. With watering, they came back and they actually bloomed again in the fall because they thought they had gone into dormancy and then came back. The next spring, everything was fine. But every summer since that, and they just did this week again, not all of the clumps of bushes, but two of the main ones, the leaves are brown and falling off, even if we water them.
What do you think, Mary?
Any clues?
Yes. This has been a kind of a phenomenon with lilacs, which hardly had any issues until we got to hot weather conditions and drought conditions these last few years. So the close together means that there's more a chance for foliar diseases to be a problem. And we know now there are a number of foliar diseases that lilacs will get, and then they drop their foliage. So cleaning up the foliage underneath the plants is helpful. Watering like you've done is helpful. Improving the air circulation, and now this would mean pruning or moving the plants, that's much harder to do. But lilacs are tough, and overall, I think they will still live for you. But it's a more difficult problem because it's a complex environmental thing that's increasing the disease pressure and making the foliage drop like that. So the simplest thing you can do is clean up the foliage underneath, because that perpetuates the disease conditions.
Sounds like we also need to just be a little patient in accepting of our lilacs and other shrubs like that just aren't looking so hot right now, right? Can't always be perfect. Yeah.
That's they like cool weather. Lilacs really appreciate the cool weather.
Yeah. Good. Let's go to the text line, Mary. Here's somebody who says, I just received a sensitive plant. How do I take care of it? Do I trim the long, leggy stems? Now, I have not heard of a sensitive plant, and I'm guessing this isn't somebody who just, you know, has lots of feelings. What's a sensitive plant, and how do you take care of it?
Well, usually a sensitive plant is it's one of these really cool plants that if you touch it, it moves. So it actually can close up its foliage. Mm. And it is a cool plant. Usually in our climate, this is a houseplant. There's also a sensitive fern, but that's normally grown outside. So I would say this is probably a mimosa, which is a sensitive plant that as you touch it, it moves. I think I'd be pretty careful about pruning it, because unless it's really long and leggy, I wouldn't prune it more than maybe a quarter of it, taking off a quarter of the foliage. But it usually needs good light conditions. And yes, it can be a fun house plant. Sensitive plant. It's a cool. That's a nice gift.
Yes, love that. Mm-hmm. Great. We do need to take a break, Mary, but we have a zillion questions on our text line. We invite your calls as well. 651-461-9226. This is Smart Gardens with our expert extraordinaire, Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. It's 816 on CCO. More of your calls and questions coming up.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And we're back. It is 8:20 on WCCO Radio. You are listening to Smart Gardens, and our expert today is Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. And Mary, before we get back to our texts and our calls, I know you have something that you wanted to touch on today about a big anniversary for the Horticultural Society. What's this all about?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Laura. Yeah. Yes, 160 years with the Horticulture Society. Now, the Hort Society started the Arboretum Oh, gosh. Wow. 1958, the Arboretum was started. And yes, the Arboretum has outgrown the Hort Society now. But the Hort Society is celebrating 160 years. Many people will know it from the Northern Gardener magazine that has great articles for people, us in the hardy North cold country here. And at the State Fair, people can connect with the Hort Society there and join membership. And we also hope to have a proclamation from the governor about the 160th anniversary. So it was at the State Fair that the Hort Society started with the apple growers 160 years ago.
That's wonderful. And I know that I have walked through the Hort building many times at the State Fair and that you guys have a big presence there as well. Are there any big things this year, this fair, that you want to point out that people should see for sure?
Oh, gosh, there's always the biggest pumpkin, the biggest vegetables that are in there, new varieties of apples. Of course, the master gardeners are in there. And the Hort Society will be selling their membership and talking about the magazine that's there. We hope to have 160-year, I don't know, how can I say this? Something with plants.
Okay.
So 160 years outside that you can see with planted with plants that will showcase the anniversary. Yeah, so look for that.
Very nice. And I also want to remind folks that you are going to be with us live at our Minnesota State Fair booth, I think on Saturday the 29th, the first Saturday, is that right?
Yeah, 2 weeks from today, the most fun of all. Yes, you could see us in person at the fair. So that's really fun. Yes.
Very good. Come join us, folks, on the corner of Carnes and Nelson, the WCCO radio booth. If it's raining, we have a beautiful pergola that is being built right now by Lindus Construction that has a little high-tech roof on it. If the sprinkles start to fall, you'll be protected and just fine. So come join us. All right, Mary, we have a caller on the line. Candace, who do we have?
Marlene from Edina.
Hi, Marlene. What's your question for Mary?
Good morning. Hi, Mary. I have a mystery, Mary. I garden in a community garden. And for the last couple years, I've bought the Tithonia, the Mexican sunflower plant. And also this year, I bought a Mexican marigold with the idea that they would grow to 3 feet. And for some reason, in the last 2 years, the Tithonia has only been maybe 10 inches tall. And this year, the same thing with the marigolds. They just don't reach the height that the indicated on the card. Now, are they mislabeled, or do I have a mystery earth dirt that I'm planting them in that I need to juice up a little bit, or what's happening?
Wow, Marlene, this is amazing. Tithonia is a huge plant. I mean, it can be 5 feet tall easily. That big sunflower, very great for attracting pollinators and butterflies. A Mexican marigold, that can be variable in height, but still should be. Yeah, I'm kind of speechless here. So I would say that it's not probably not your soil, because both of these can take drier, hot, sunnier conditions. I think it's the actual seed. So another thing you can do is take a picture of this, the plants you have, and send it to Ask Master Gardener online at umn.edu, extension.umn.edu, and they can help you identify what you have. But yes, I would say it's the seed source. So I would really think about getting seed from a reputable seed source, and perhaps mail order might be one of the best ways, thinking in the wintertime, to actually order the seed in advance.
Great. Thank you, Marlene. Good luck with that. And I just want to, Mary, I want to make sure folks do know that they can take photos of their problems and send them into that extension website, the Ask a Master Gardener section, right, at extension.umn.edu. Who is manning the Ask a Master Gardener? And I want to hear about some of the goofy questions that you guys get. Is there anything that has ever stumped a Master Gardener?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. The questions come from all over the world. And Ask a Master Gardener has been going on for many years now. That was, you know, with the advent of the internet, we had a listserv where Master Gardeners could talk, and then the ability to answer questions online. So it's manned by Master Gardeners who do their volunteer work throughout the state of Minnesota. So when you do Ask a Master Gardener through the University of Minnesota Extension.umn.edu, these are local people answering your questions. They are not somebody in Florida or Texas or California. They're the local Master Gardeners that man that. And yes, so you can send a picture there as well. So the craziest questions we have gotten, oh my gosh, I think one of the craziest ones was France, a person wanted me to identify what was wrong with a tree that they saw in a park in France.
Mm.
And that was difficult.
Yeah.
That was difficult because we didn't know the type of tree, not many conditions about it. It was a historic tree. I think I advised the person to try to find someone locally that was managing the park. But yes, we get anything and everything. And we do try to stick to plants. People easily veer off into pets and animals and other things. And so we do try to keep it in the plant arena.
For sure. Good. Let's get to some texts, Mary. I want to run through as many as we can before we need to break in just a few minutes. Here's somebody who says, my cosmos haven't bloomed yet. I fertilized and watered well. They are very tall and healthy looking, but no blooms. What's going on there?
Yeah, cosmos are affected by the day length. So as our days get shorter, they actually will tend to flower. And so it's really a day length thing. So we are getting our day lengths shorter now. You know, we'll get to the equinox in September, but they will flower because the day length will change on them. There are a wide variety of cosmos. There are some that are not as affected by the day length called day neutral, but just the common everyday ones, unimproved ones, usually are affected by the day length. So I've had the same thing happen, and it's frustrating. But, yeah, it's the day length.
Yeah, you want those pretty blooms, especially in the middle of August, for sure. All right, another texter. There is a lot of acorn squash on the vines in my garden. What do I do to ensure they all mature?
At this point, I would just say just making sure they have enough water and still continue to pull any weeds that are around them that would maybe, take the water. It's great with acorn squash, and you can see them developing. You usually have to be very careful with squash with the maturity date and not pick them too early. So if you still have the seed packet or know the recommendations are in the seed packet for days to harvest, the other way you can tell is the underside of the squash usually will develop a dark orange color instead of light green or yellow. It goes to a darker orange color when it's ripe. And if you have a lot of squash, you can always pick one and then open it up and see what it looks like inside.
Give it a test. All righty. Yeah. My lawn has been pretty dormant this year with the lack of rain and hot weather. Looks like some quack grass has moved in, especially in the boulevard. What are my options to get rid of it and grow a healthier lawn? Are our lawns kind of doomed at this point in the summer? Can we still bring it back? What do you think?
Yes, this is a tough question because quack grass is one of our worst weeds. You know, the really one of the worst ones you could have in your lawn, because it has rhizomes. It's a perennial. It's very difficult to get rid of quack grass because the herbicides will kill all grasses and kill our good lawn grasses as well as the quack grass. Sometimes quack grass it doesn't do well if you mow it shorter and keep it under 3 inches. We like to talk about 3 inches as a good mowing height for our lawn, so cutting it short is not something we recommend for overall lawn care. And especially in drought conditions, cutting short, it really stresses the drought conditions altogether. You could try selectively killing the quackgrass if it's in one area, using a herbicide that kills pretty much everything.
Yeah.
You could try that, but it is a challenge.
At least it's green. That's what I think. With all of the quackgrass and creeping Charlie, I just think at least it's green. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
This is true.
Yes. It is 8:31 on CCO. We are taking your calls and your texts for Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. We do need to take a break, but when we come back, we have many more questions on our text line to get to, including some hydrangea questions. We also have an astilbe question, and what to do for ground cover when there is no sun or almost no sun in your yard. Stay tuned on CCO. Good morning. It is 8:35 on WCCO. Our Smart Gardens expert du jour today is Miss Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. We are taking your calls and your texts about your flowers, about your yard, about any questions you might have for Mary. 651-461-9226. And Mary, I want to get through a few of these texts. I promised that we'd answer questions about hydrangeas. And the question is, I planted two tiny quick-fire hydrangea plants last August. They blossomed this spring beautifully. Now they are all brown, including the stems. Do I prune them, and are they done blossoming? What do we think?
Oh, hydrangeas can really be a challenge. There are many different kinds of those, and the turning brown is the heat and the dry conditions. So hydrangeas, especially the big leaf hydrangeas, need a lot of water. So I would not worry about pruning them or taking anything off. Even if the foliage is brown, the stem still might be green. And because they're a young plant, they might put out new leaves. So I pay more attention to watering them regularly and don't worry about pruning. And, you know, the bloom early may have been just the life cycle with where they were in the greenhouse growing and developing. And hopefully they'll bloom better next year.
Great. Judy from Blaine with a question. Is it an okay time of the year, okay time of the year to transplant an established astilbe?
You could do that now. It's again a question of watering it and keeping it well watered after you transplant it. But yes, you could go ahead and do that now.
Okay, good. Mary, let's just talk about watering a little bit because we've been having to do it a lot lately, and it's so easy to get lazy about watering and you think, oh, it's supposed to rain tomorrow, I'm not going to worry about it. But this really is the time of year to not slack off on the watering, right?
That's very true, because what happens if a plant is drought stressed and goes through the winter, it's especially deadly. So if it isn't in good shape and then it goes through the winter, if we have an open winter with very little snow, you know, our rainfall comes in the summer. Traditionally, it's the summer growing season when it rains. And even though it does snow in the winter, it's a small amount compared to the moisture we get in the summertime. So it's a really deadly situation if the fall is dry and then the winter hits plants, because that's when we see huge losses in plants. And one of the toughest things to do, Laura, it seems crazy, is remember what you planted.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you plant back in May?
Right.
What are the new plants in your yard? Where are they? You know, and those are the plants that have the smallest root system and are under the most stress. So those are the ones to think about watering. And, you know, early in the morning is the best time to water. And then watering deeply is very helpful. And really, you don't need to water the foliage. It doesn't need to be up in the air. If you put the hose down on the ground, that's the best thing, because the water really needs to soak into the root system.
Great. Back to the text line. What are some plants to place in your yard for ground cover when there is no sun or almost no sun? Some shade lovers here, Mary.
Yeah, there are actually a lot of plants that will work. Now, one of my favorites is lamium or dead nettle. Yes, such a horrible name for this plant. But lamium is in the mint family. It's quite aggressive, and it grows no matter what. So it in poorer light conditions, it will grow. Hosta, there are really a number of hosta that do quite well. There's also geraniums, the perennial geraniums that are low growing. There's some of our native geraniums that are wildflowers, and then there are ones that are Europeans as well. So the geraniums are a good choice, hosta, and then lamium. That's good choices for ground covers.
Okay, good. I have established rhubarb plants that have such spindly, skinny stalks. Is there anything I can do to grow thicker stalks? And what fertilizer would you recommend, and when should I do this?
Rhubarb really likes compost. So compost, horse manure, any manure types of fertilizer, they really seem to respond well to that. But also a regular chemical fertilizer like 5-10-10 has minimal nitrogen and then phosphorus and potassium. Really the spring, early spring when the plants are starting to grow is a good time to put on the chemical fertilizer. If you can mulch with compost or manure now in the fall, that would be fine as well. Rhubarb really has to have full sun conditions. So full sun and some compost or manure should be adequate for it.
Great. Hey, Mary, here's somebody heading to the Arboretum this morning. They're planning to walk through the amazing ornamental grasses collection.
Oh,
yes,
wonderful.
This is your jam. And this person wants to know if they perform better in hot summers like we have had this year. Or you are the ornamental grass queen. So what do you think? What are the ideal growing conditions?
They do like hot summers.
Yeah.
Yes, they do like hot summers, but they also like a lot of water.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The big Asian miscanthus loves a lot of water, and it is not as tall this year, but it is flowering now. So you'll see some of the big Asian miscanthus flowering. But also many of our prairie plants, they're not as high water requirements, but they love the sun. So prairie dropseed is flowering, big and little bluestem starting to flower. The grass collection is looking good. I have wonderful volunteers that work to help maintain it. Of course, the landscape gardeners. There's a lot going on at the Arboretum. There's an Art in the Garden show this weekend where you can walk around and see art for sale. And this Thursday, Laura, the Apple House opens.
Yes, so I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, already it's apple time. So Zestar and First Kiss, the new early apples, you'll be able to buy those Thursday. Now, the Arboretum is building a new apple house, but that is not open now this year. So just continue past the Arboretum on Route 5, despite the construction everywhere in Minnesota, but you can still get to the Apple House. And Thursday will open for those early apples.
And you guys take your apples seriously. I know that, yeah, really. I mean, your research, the research that goes on in that apple orchard, I did a news story on it a few years ago with David, is it Bedford?
David Bedford.
Yes.
Yes.
And we talked all about the apple breeding and the testing, and we walked through the orchard, and he was just taking slices off of different trees that they're trying to merge this variety with this variety to see if it's going to taste good. And he'll taste them right on site, and just within an instant, in one bite, he can say, ah, nope, too mealy, not enough flavor, nope, doesn't have the right consistency. And it's amazing how he has developed this palate over decades and decades of just tasting one bite of one weird little apple that might not even make it to market, but that's kind of up to you guys and the great research that goes on at that apple orchard.
I know. David Bedford, this man is a legend.
Yes.
Now, David Bedford is going to be in person at a garden gathering we're having to celebrate the Hort Society's 160th anniversary. And not only is David Bedford going to be there, Beth Dooley is going to be there to do some apple recipes. So that's the celebration October 1st. So if you're interested in that, the Minnesota Horticulture Society is celebrating all things apples because that's what started the Hort Society.
Oh, I love
so
that.
Fun with that apple breeding. Yeah.
Yes, it's just fascinating. It's so cool. And I love how they come up with the names for these new varieties, too. There's always
the
new
names.
Cool name.
They are so difficult. Yes,
yeah.
It is fun. Yeah.
All right, back to the text line for Mary Meyer. You're listening to Smart Gardens on WCCO Radio. Mary is our expert from the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. There are two black pearl cherry trees planted very close to the house and sidewalk that we purchased. How big do these get? Do they need constant maintenance, or is it better to chop them down? What do you think if somebody just bought a house with two black pearl cherry trees very, very close to it?
Huh. Black pearl cherry. Now, I don't know this cherry, so I'm looking it up. This is a fruiting cherry. This seems like, oh my gosh. This is, wow, developed in Canada. Is this going to be hardy for us? Marginally, semi-dwarf. Frankly, I would, if this is going to fruit for you and you're interested in a cherry, this is sweet. This is a sweet cherry. There are very few sweet cherries that are hardy for us. I would say if it's close to your house and bothering you, you could do some pruning on it. And then if it doesn't fruit, or if the fruit is messy and you don't like that, take it out. But I think a lot of you're going to have dieback on this. I bet a lot of the top is going to die back just because of the cold weather conditions. But if it was mine, I would certainly wait a year or so to see how much fruit comes off of it, and if you really do like the fruit.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice if it produced a lot of fruit, it wasn't messy, it didn't drop the fruit, and the leaves didn't get brown.
Oh, a dream plant.
Right.
Yeah.
Good luck with the cherry trees. All right, another question. My tomato plants are producing only a minimal amount of fruit, very few blossoms. The plant looks big and beautiful. Why aren't they producing tomatoes?
The first thing I would say is the variety. What variety is it? And getting a good name variety is critical. And not some seedling that grew up on its own as a volunteer. So if you know it's a variety that you bought, you know, from a garden center, then the second thing is enough sun. So full sun conditions are really critical, a minimum of 6 hours a day for the sun. And then the last thing is the temperature conditions. Tomatoes will grow in hot weather, but if it gets above 85, they really won't set fruit. So it might have blossoms, but then the fruit won't set at all because the conditions are too hot. And then I assume that it's in the ground, and or if it's not in the ground, that the person has been watering it. So again, water is critical, but sun and a good variety, eventually it should even out. And some varieties are quite late and are just starting to really produce ripe fruit now. And, you know, we've had warm falls. We've had mild September and October. So it still may set some fruit for you this year.
All right. Good luck. Thank you, Texter. We do need to take a break. When we come back, we have an asparagus question. Oh, we have all kinds of wonderful questions for Mary Meyer this morning. If you have one, give us a call or a text at 651-461-9226. It's 848 on CCO. And it's 8:50 on WCCO. I'm Laura Oakes, joined by Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, taking all of your calls and questions about plants, vegetables, flowers, lawn, you name it. 651-461-9226. Back to the text line, Mary. Here's our asparagus question. It's a long one, but I think what I am gathering from this texter is that they want to pick their asparagus to start another patch. Wondering if they need to wait until they turn red, or could they pick some now and let them dry on a shelf rather than risk them falling off the vine and losing them? What do we think about asparagus at this point in the summer?
So I think this caller is talking about the berries, the fruit, red fruit that's actually on an asparagus plant, to use that to propagate new asparagus. Oh my gosh, how old is this person? This is going to take a while. So, yes, letting the seed dry, years to get this plant. So buying a plant is so much easier in the springtime. I guess, you know, you can try this out. The other thing I would do is if you have a fairly large patch of asparagus, is just go into the end of the asparagus and cut it. Remove some of the asparagus you already have and divide that out and make more. Use your own plants to increase your asparagus patch. Because the seed, this is a fun thing. You could try that out, but that's a long-term project.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds like it. All right, another texter. I like to get a tall plant for the back of my pots. And this year I found one called Prince Tut. It kind of looks like I planted a feather duster on its head, and I have no idea how to take care of it now that I planted it about 3 months ago. What do we do with Prince Tut?
Yeah, this is actually a papyrus or cypress plant that, yes, lots of fun, but this is a real tropical.
Mm.
So this is nothing that is going to live here unless, you know, you have Florida conditions, you want to take it to Florida, something like that. Could you keep it over winter? Oh my gosh, that would be tough. You have to keep it somewhere where it wouldn't freeze, and would it go into a dormant condition? So, yeah, that's a challenge. I'd have to really study up on that. I would say keeping it green and growing in the sun, in a sunny window, you could probably do that. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much work do you want to do with this plant?
Right.
Or buy it, just buy it again.
I like the name Prince Tut. That's kind of fun. It sounds exotic.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is, right.
All right. A watermelon question, Mary. How do I tell when a watermelon is ready to pick and eat? Great question. What do we know?
Yeah, this is a challenge for when is it ripe. So the underside where it's been lying on the soil, if it turns from green to yellow, usually a yellow is a ripening sound. Some people think they can knock on the melon, and if it's hard, if it's hollow, that's when it's the hollow sound means it's ripe. I think that's a very difficult way to do it. The yellow underneath and the number of days to harvest that's on the seed packet, the kind of watermelon you have, those are the best indicators. And then if you have numerous plants, the numerous fruits, picking one and trying it out is another way. In our climate, there are lovely animals, mice and so on, that will start to eat this fruit before it gets ripe. So you have to really be quite vigilant for any of the melons, because animals will come in and start to eat them. But days to harvest on the label, on the seed packet label, or you can look that up online if you know the kind of watermelon.
But we should stop knocking on our watermelons, right? Read the packet.
I can't tell the difference in the sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like we have a caller on the line. Candace, who do we have?
Catherine from Blaine.
Hi, Catherine. Good morning. What's your question for Mary?
Good morning, you guys. I know this is late, but I was just, I want to get a hydrangea that'll come back the next year. I know Annabelle comes back every year. What is the other one? What is the other one?
Oh, the other one is the paniculata, hydrangea paniculata. That's more like a tree, and they're firelight, limelight, little lime. I have one that's vanilla, strawberry. So paniculata and arborescence, those are the two kinds that are really hardy. So, yeah, Annabelle, there's also Incredible. That's the one that isn't is the Macrophylla, the big leaf hydrangea. And this is really a challenge, Catherine. They're in the garden centers. They'll have the cultivar names, but it can be a challenge. But there are some great, wonderful hydrangeas that are really hardy for us. The big leaf ones are the more challenging, and they require the most watering.
All right. Thank you very much for the question, Catherine. Lots of hydrangea questions today. It is the season indeed. Thank you so much, Mary. We appreciate all of your fabulous advice this morning. We'll see you live at the Minnesota State Fair on August 29th. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Laura.
You are so welcome. And remember, folks, what Mary talked about, the Apple House out at the Landscape Arboretum opens on Thursday, I believe, August 20th. Lots of apples. They have pies. They have strudels, pickles, honey, wild rice, jams. And you can sample all of the great apples that are coming into harvest over the next weeks and months. Hope you check that out. It's 8:56 on CCO. Coming up, the Home Improvement Show with Andy Lindis. Get your questions ready for the expert.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShareHealth. We got you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.